out there. It's either leading up to Christmas when you listen to this, or you might be in the middle of it, or you might be at the end of your Christmas holiday. This is LFC Talk at Hotel Tia's Christmas special, and with me I've got David Fairclough. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And then we've got Jamie Webster.
Bah, humbug.
And then we've got Jake C. Dodd.
Merry Christmas, wherever you are.
Mm. Oh, love it. Who needs Bing Crosby? It's no secret, football and Christmas go hand in hand. And for those people far out there who has never experienced a football game in England during Christmas, David, can you try to describe how football and Christmas are joined in a very special way?
Well, I remember early, when I was young, there being snow around Christmas, and the thought of playing football in the snow was exciting, and getting wrapped up and going to the match and all those things. It was it seemed to be a very, very exciting time. These days, the weather doesn't quite remind you of those type of Christmases, but still, football around Christmas is, it's very much a part of our way of enjoying the season. It's been said down the years there are two key periods in winning the leagues and championships, and that is Christmas and Easter. And the amount of football that happens around the Christmas period is absolutely vital, and the crowds are massive. People love to get out. They've been locked away and doing all the family things for days. Get out, football seems to have a special atmosphere about it. I can't wait.
What about you, Jamie? Football and Christmas for you?
Sadio Mane, winner at Goodison, 19th of December, being stood in the away end, cold midweek night, and thinking you were walking away with the draw, and then at the very, literally, that couldn't have been a later kick in the game, like the ball rolls, Sturridge has a shot, it rolls from one post to the other post, and it looks like there could be five people in this race for the ball, and Mane sticks it in the net, and our away end absolutely erupted. And for 15, 20, 25 minutes, half an hour after the game, we're singing that Merry Christmas Everton song, which I'm sure you put a clip up of at some point. But, that was sort of the birth of it. And, I've got a lot of mates who are Evertonians, a lot of very good friends who are Evertonians. But, it's just nothing quite like beating Everton, is there?
It's the best.
And, to give you bragging rights over Christmas, I've got family, some of my family are Evertonians. To be able to sort of have that smug smile on my face on Christmas Day. And, it was just, that's me Liverpool Christmas memory, I suppose, what a great memory it was. And it seems like we've had a few more of them, the last 2 years now.
But would Christmas be anything without football for you?
No, because, part of what I look forward to on Christmas as well is that Boxing Day fixture. It's a great time, everyone's talking about whose Christmas dinner was the best, how many pigs in blankets they ate and all that, and then obviously Liverpool tend to do all right on Boxing Day, the year's gone by. I'm looking forward to a big game, against Leicester, night kickoff, have my Christmas drink with the lads, have a good day, hopefully we come on with the points. I think personally I think if City do a job on Leicester this weekend and then we beat them on Boxing Day, having won every game leading up to it, to sort of say, I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm not going to say it, but, the position we'd be in at that point would be absolutely phenomenal. I don't think there's really much trust and distance between us and the team. So that could be my new Christmas memory for next year, maybe, But, Christmas without football. Obviously, Christmas is about more than just football, if we're talking on an all-round sense, it's about, people coming together and, kids enjoying their the presents and stuff, and it's also about giving and families coming together and stuff. But in terms of the football aspect, Liverpool winning, that's all you want, isn't it, really? Yeah, I can't wait for it.
Jake C, football, yeah, Christmas for you?
Looking forward to it. It's Leicester away has become a very important match, which in a normal season it wouldn't be. Leicester are not like normally at the level of the top four or the top six, whatever you call them. But it's going to be a huge game, and it's got to go by coach. No one's going to want to drive and stuff. Yeah. So it's going to be a biggie, and it could be decisive, but it's almost getting scary because if we do beat them, and everything's going our way, it's going to get scarier by the week, because obviously we've fell at the last fence a few times. So until we've actually lift that trophy, I know everyone's going to get carried away and you're going to get all these kinds of stories, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Until we actually lift it, that's when it's done. But Boxing Day was always great, because I don't know how they did the fixtures, but a lot of times we played Man United on Boxing Day and Everton played City. I don't know how that worked, but there was less travelling for the fans. It was easy. And they were big, big games, you know. Lime Street was chaotic because you had one lock coming in from Manchester United, and all the other lock going out. And then after the game, you had the same thing again. But yeah, Boxing Day has always been huge. But then years ago, they actually played on Christmas Day, which is mad when you think about it. But, and then there's other games after that. There's games between Christmas and New Year as well.
We have one coming on the 29th, and then the next one on the 2nd of January.
I think when it's been talked about having a break in England, and Christmas was talked about as being the time to break. Well, I mean, that would be a catastrophe, and unthought. Mm. And you couldn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So the fact that they've now found a gap to have a little bit of a break, but football at Christmas is it's part of it. It's such a huge part of our culture. Part of it. I mean, Boxing Day, remember the Boxing Day. I remember playing at Old Trafford on Boxing Day. Being part of a 3-0 win.
Merry Christmas. Scored
the three goal. So it's good. Third goal in 1978. But the Christmas before, everyone used to think of me as a substitute playing only 15 minutes. The year before, we played Notts Forest on Boxing Day. At Forest, we drew 1-1. Stevie Highway scored. And we played the next day against Wolves. I played in both games, both 90 minutes, which was absolutely... dead on my feet at the end of the like us all two games in 2 days. I mean, not considered it, unless you're in the Carabao Cup and the World Club Championship, of course. But it's not thought of unless it's 2 games, 2 days. Remember one day we went down to Notts Forest. We went down on Christmas night, and then we're playing obviously the next day. And after the Forest game, we went back to. We're coming back because we're going to a hotel for Boxing Night for the next game. So we stopped off at the railway hotel in Derby for a bite to eat early on. And the lads are all around. We're having a bite to eat. One thing or another, lads have finished their eating. And somewhere along the line, the waiter must have came in and said, "Is there anybody want anything else?" And Stevie Highway happened to mention to the waiter that he wanted a Cointreau. I mean, a Cointreau of all things. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could have been a pint of lager, but it was a Cointreau.
Cointreau.
And when this guy walked into this big room, and there's not many people in the hotel in that time of year, and he walked in with a tray, silver tray with a glass of Cointreau on, and he said, "Cointreau?" Bob Paisley went absolutely berserk. swear words were used. Yeah. And he couldn't believe that anybody had actually ordered an alcoholic drink. At least, I think Stevie said it in jest, but he could have chosen something more fitting than a Cointreau.
Yeah.
And exactly, the lads now who were there still talk about it to this day. Who ordered the effing Cointreau? And anyway, didn't get drunk. But we escaped on those two games with a draw. First season back in the first division, we drew 1-1. Then we beat Wolves the next day. It was a bit of a...
It was a good side, Forest, then, though.
Forest were a great side. I mean, obviously, they came. Nobody knew that much about them. And they seemed to have our system worked out for a while. They frustrated us. But to go to Forest and draw 1-1 was a decent result. And we ended up winning the league that year as well. So key period to get points in there when all these fixtures are congested. I mean, it goes a long way to winning the league.
But as a player, you miss out on a lot of family and Christmas activities. What was that like? What was the hardest to miss out on as a dad?
While I was at Liverpool, I wasn't married, so that was fine for me. It was exciting. The thought of going into Anfield on Christmas morning after, you'd had that little bit of excitement of waking up and with your mum, dad, sister and all those type of things. Then going into training and having a run around, there was a different atmosphere about it. It wasn't like any regular morning. You showed up, coaches were happy for once. You didn't have to worry about who was going to be in a good mood or a bad mood. Everybody was in a good mood Christmas morning. You did your training. went back home for Christmas lunch, and then back to Anfield for the coach to go wherever, either to, you know, invariably we stayed away for all games. I mean, for Christmas night, then in those days, we would have stayed at the Lord Daresbury out in Warrington. So it was a good day. As it, being a young guy, it wasn't as inconvenient as some of the others. And some of them were so excited, you know, talked about so many exciting things, you know, giving the kids their presents and all those type of things. I remember being an apprentice one year, having to come in and do the kit. And I remember hearing one of the players, Peter Cormack, actually gave his wife a car for Christmas. We're like, it was absolutely staggered. You know, how can you afford to give a car for Christmas? You know, when most people are getting books and LPs and things like that.
Cards.
Yeah, cards. And Peter Cormack bought his wife a car for Christmas. I was like, couldn't believe it. That was the first time I think I was really, really impressed about being a footballer and what perhaps, you know, how beneficial it could be, you know.
I would like to hear a little bit about how you guys celebrate your Christmas these days. What's Christmas to you guys?
For me, it's just a family. Well, funny enough, Christmas is my mum's birthday. So.
What day?
Christmas Day.
My mum too.
Really?
She's turning 80 on Christmas Day.
Snap. Mm. Well, she's not. My mum's not turning 80, but it's a birthday on Christmas Day. So for us, like, first thing, my mum's like, she's always said, oh, consider yourself lucky, your birthday's not on Christmas Day. As a little girl, everyone was always getting presents on my birthday, you know. And I understand that, because, you know, when you're a kid, your birthday is like your day, isn't it? And everything's for you, because we're spoiled like that nowadays. But, so I always try and make sure that, like, you know, I give me mum a happy birthday first and foremost before I wish anybody else Merry Christmas and all that.
Good luck.
And I'm just, you know, used to be really good for me, Christmas, because my brothers were 10 years younger than me. So, like, for him as a kid, still seeing the magic of Christmas when it had sort of well worn off on me, you know what I mean? It was like, it was brilliant. But even now, it's just great to spend time with the family. We normally go to, like, aunties, or my auntie will come to ours. We do different things every year. So my mum and dad will do a couple of the meats. My auntie will do another one of the meats. And it'll just be like a buffet-style Christmas dinner. You go and help yourself to what you want. My nan does a soup every day. We go to my nan's in the morning, and then we all sort of settle down then around 3 o'clock and start eating our dinner. And yeah, and then we have like sort of a party for my mum in the night, you know what I mean? Not like a party, but a few drinks and, you know what I mean, a few family games, just a daft, you know, happy Christmas. And yeah, then obviously it's just a pretty typical Christmas day, I'd imagine, you know, your Christmas dinner and everything else. And then I tend to go and pick my girlfriend up now a bit later on after she's spent the day with her family. And you know, we'll you know, spend the night together, whatever. And Boxing Day, you get up, then have your full English brekkie and look forward to the fuzzy. And that's Christmas for me, yeah.
Brilliant. What about you, David?
I'll be family-based. A mix of my family, in-laws, and my daughter's in-laws, rather. And
the little grandson.
And the first year, little grandson, yeah. So, you know, talking about Christmas has become a little bit samey for a number of years once your kids grow up. But once little ones start appearing again, it begins to change a little bit. He won't know much about Christmas, but it's really exciting for me this year. I mean, to see him running around, it's something new. And it's going to be, it'll be a nice time. It's very, it's a great time. I enjoy Christmas. It's reflective at times. I'm surrounded by birthdays. My mother's birthday is just a day or two after Christmas, and my birthday then is the following week, and all those type of things. So it's a busy time. Looking forward to all the days and nights out together.
Now I have to ask you, Jakesy, though, is your mom born at Christmas too?
No,
that would be freaky.
April 22nd. No, mine's going to be quite boring. Just take it or leave it, me, you know. Obviously, I'll be looking forward to the match the next day. But on the actual day itself, I'll probably see my lad in the morning, go for a few bevvies with my mates in the pub, go back and just chill, really, you know. Because the circumstances change as the years go by. I split up about, 2 years ago, so all that's changed, all that, you know, where you're eating, where you're going to yours and doing this and doing that, and feeling that you've got to force yourself to do things to appease everybody else, to make everyone else happy, you know. go to her mum's or whatever, you know, because she'll be upset if you don't do this. And you're thinking, oh, do you know what? I really don't care, you know. So now I'm now I'm in charge of my own destiny. Yeah, just don't give a shit.
You're cruising your own ship this Christmas,
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people feel the same, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, there's people
about stretching yourself into different sort of positions.
Yeah. Especially Christmas puts people under. You know, we all seem like we're doing okay, you know what I mean? But a lot of families, you know, it's a tough time.
People think you've got to do certain things. You have to do this, you have to do that. A lot of people, like, get, you know, quite down about it. And then you get loads of offers on the table going, you've got to come here, you've got to go there, and we're doing this and doing that. And they're always feeling sorry for you, you know. And it's a lot of pressure on people. Because they think they have to live up to certain standards. I have to have the millions of people around me and all the rest of it. Like, I came here last Christmas Day, you know, for an hour for others.
Yeah, we had 60 deprived people from Anfield here for Christmas Day. Did you come and volunteer?
I did. I was driving people home. We were it was just a crazy day.
Oh, that's so nice. And Trent came in with his whole family, buying all the presents and sponsored the food and hotel tea, had the facilities.
You know, that's what we said about Christmas. I think, you know, if you do know anybody who's less privileged, you don't have the Christmases that we do, you know, try your very best to make them, to give them something to, you know, to smile about on Christmas. I mean, as I know there's a woman by ours, she walks her dogs every Christmas morning. And I'm pretty sure that all she's got is these two dogs, you know. She's an older lady, and I always try and catch her every Christmas and just say, Happy Christmas. Like, might not mean much, but she smiles.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good.
It's not like the biggest thing in the world, but, you know, little things like that, that's something I always try and keep my eye out the window for the woman walking past our estate.
Yeah.
And I'll sort of nip out and try and catch her, and normally on the way over to give me nan a present, because my nan lives on the estate opposite. So on the way over to my nan's, I always try and time it with this woman's walk. And give her a little Merry Christmas. So, yeah, you know, Hotel Tea is doing something similar again this year.
Yeah, it's not very profile this year, but we will invite lonely, deprived people this Christmas as well.
I think that's a big, massive... That's the part of Christmas which we sometimes forget. You know, we always think it's a very commercial holiday nowadays, Christmas, isn't it? You know, but I think if there are people who, you know, like I've said, don't have the luxuries that we have, probably don't look forward to Christmas. If you know any of these people, just, you know, do your best to, you know, put your arm around them a little bit, or just even have a chat with them, you know what I mean, just to make them feel a bit better about Christmas itself, because it can be
a lonely place. Yeah, but then on the other hand, some people don't want all the fuss, you know.
No,
I mean, if I go to the supermarket, I really, really don't need the woman on the till with the reindeer antlers on her head.
Yeah, that's you, Jexy.
I really don't need
that's you, Jexy.
Just give us me food and let me go.
That reindeer.
No, but I mean, what you're saying, though, Jamie, you're spot on. There are a lot of lonely people who don't choose to be lonely on Christmas. I read in the Norwegian biggest newspaper a couple of years ago that 1 out of 10 in Norway will celebrate Christmas on their own, and not all of them are voluntarily celebrated on their own. So I think if you listen to this and you are alone, just know that you're not the only one alone. I mean, and you're nothing worse, or you're not smaller than anyone else, even though you're sitting on your own this Christmas. There are a lot of reasons for that. And we are thinking about you, and we know that you are just as cool as everybody else. No, seriously, it is tough this time of the year if you are on your own and you don't choose to be on your own. Maybe you battle to find a partner. Maybe you've lost your partner. It's tough. So hang in there and know that the sun has turned. Every day is getting brighter. And we are all a big red family.
And Liverpool are top of the league.
Exactly. That is a beautiful
Christmas
present.
Something to smile about.
Exactly. So I'm not going to rub it in your faces here, guys, but I am going back to Norway for Christmas. And we are chopping our own Christmas tree in our own little forest. And we are skiing every day. So there you go.
Ah, well.
Sounds ace.
Sounds lovely.
Mm. It will be nice with a little break. But we will be streaming those Christmas games over there in the forest. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. All we need to do then is just to sum this little Christmas special up by saying Merry Christmas, guys. Where's Bing Crosby?
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hope it's a good one.
And have a happy red year.
Up the pool.